the guy he just got his girlfriend pregnant is what we're talking about here? Mm-hmm. What do you tell the guy? Oh, man.
Abortion is a political issue and has no place in the church. Have you heard that before? Of course you have. If you've been anywhere around a church, you have heard that before. And we're here to say that that is nonsense. Welcome to Dear Jane. I'm Scott. Marcy is out for the day. Been looking forward to this conversation for a while. Pastor Eric Jones from Pro-Life Pastors is going to join me today. And we're going to talk about the role the church can play in helping, just talk about the issue, helping pastors encourage other pastors to talk about the issue and the difference that that could make. Before we get into it, though, did you know that over 90% of the people who listen to Dear Jane have not subscribed yet? What? That's crazy. Our listenership keeps increasing. We're getting a lot more exposure. We're getting out there. We have great conversations, but you have to have people subscribe or follow whatever it is on your platform of choice. This will help us have even more impact and spread even to a larger audience. So we just ask you to click that real quick. Subscribe, follow. We'll just let you know when we have our next episode. We usually have a new one every Thursday, so that would help us a lot if you can do that. So Eric Jones is the senior pastor at Evident Life Church in Gilbert, Arizona, and he is also the founder of Pro-Life Pastors. Joins me today on Dear Jane. Okay, Eric, let's start with a little role play. I'm going to be the angry opposition, and you tell me your response. Abortion is a political issue, and churches have no business talking about political issues like that, Pastor Eric.
Wow, that's something I hear quite a bit, actually. abortion is a political issue because it is in the area of politics, but it is, first and foremost, it's a biblical issue. It's a heart of God issue. From the very beginning, God created mankind. He created us in his image. He then says in Psalm 139 that he knit us together in our mother's womb. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Human life at the core is a heart of God issue. It's a biblical issue. It's a moral issue. And it just happens to find itself in the area of politics from time to time. And so that's why as a pastor, I speak on the issue. Why? Because God's word speaks on the issue of the sanctity of human life and about the cultural issues that surround all of that.
Why are a lot of pastors not as bold when it comes to this, you think?
Well, I think that when you live in an environment that keeps telling you, hey, you're really not supposed to talk about this. If you're a good pastor, you're going to just focus on the gospel. And the gospel is just confined, boxed into simply faith by grace and salvation through Christ alone. And it doesn't seem to be allowed to get out of that box into the entirety of all the cultural issues and just life in general. And so I think it's been a narrative that's been in our culture for a long time. If you look at seminaries, I don't know of a single seminary, for instance, that equips pastors, encourages pastors, has any classes or instruction or resources for pastors to engage in these life issues. And I'm not just talking sanctity of human life. I'm talking just how the Bible touches literally every aspect of life, from the time we wake up till the time we go to bed at night. And so I think it's just it's an unfortunate set of circumstances that the enemy loves that we think, oh, we shouldn't be talking about these things. But I think that's changing. I really do.
Are pastors scared, do you think?
I think there's a level of that with some pastors. I think that there are several things, and I want to be really careful because, I mean, I know a lot of pastors. I'm in a lot of different organizations with a lot of different pastors. I run with a lot of pastors and my peers and my friends. I know their hearts. They love the Lord. They love the Word of God. They love people. They've given their lives. They've sacrificed much, really, to give their lives, their time, talent, treasure, their calling to this role of being a pastor. And so I think sometimes that there is a fear because that narrative that, hey, if you talk about things, you might step on people's toes. It's going to offend people. It's going to hurt people's feelings. They're going to walk out of the church, and your church is going to implode and disappear. And what a horrible pastor you would be if that were to happen. Again, it's a false narrative. It's a false fear. I mean, the enemy loves to use fear, and this is just one of those aspects that the enemy uses is fear. And it's kind of like the loudest, the squeaky wheel, you know, is the one that's going to get the attention. It's going to get the grease, right? And so that just happens to be the squeaky wheel out there that if you talk about certain issues that you're going to end up hurting people. You're going to end up offending people, and people are going to leave your church, when I have found it's the exact opposite. I'm a proponent for some positive peer pressure, which is really what pro-life pastors is, which is something that we started almost 2 years ago. And it's just a way to encourage pastors to add that positive push towards speaking about these biblical issues like the sanctity of human life.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. At my church, and I live in a state where we had a constitutional battle last year to enshrine unlimited abortion in the state constitution. Mm-hmm. And in my church, and I love my pastors, have all the respect in the world for them. Their take has really, it really got me, I thought it was meaningful even if I disagreed. So they never talked about the issue, the ballot issue or the issue of abortion or anything like that from the stage. They never did. Their explanation for why was this. If you bring up an issue that is divisive like this, unfortunately, we live in a culture where people will automatically put you in a corner. And then when you tell them about the gospel, they'll tune you out. They've already tuned you out. They've already written you off because, unfortunately, so many people, they hear, you know, they come to some political conclusion, they close the wall, and then that's it. So basically, they're arguing it shuts the door for when you want to tell them about the gospel and Jesus.
Yeah, I hear that, and I totally disagree with that personally. I think that when we hold back on speaking about issues that are really compassion issues and care issues and we hide behind the gospel for that, I think we send the exact opposite message that we think we're sending. We send the message that Christianity is really just about a set of beliefs, and it's really just about trying to get people into our camp versus talking about God's heart for all of mankind, for all time, from the womb all the way through, and how the love of God affects every aspect of our being and our lives. And so I disagree with that. I find that when I talk about issues like the sanctity of human life, and I use that A word, abortion, and discuss what it is, and then we open the Bible and we talk about it, where do we end up? We end up at the place of redemption. We end up at the place of how God has stepped down from heaven and he dealt with this issue, and he brings us out of the hurt and the pain of that. He brings us out of the condemnation of that. He brings us into the place of freedom and healing. And I'm telling you, it's some of the most powerful Sundays that we have is when I talk about this issue. Women that are coming out of decades, some of them, of condemnation, finding freedom. I mean, just bawling, but not bawling because they feel, you know, this conviction or they feel dirty, but because they feel free and they feel loved and they feel restored. And so it's really just about, will you go the whole way with it? Don't just point fingers, call things out, but if it's a heart of God issue, then let's go all the way with the heart of God with this, and let's watch what God does. He always brings freedom and restoration and reconciliation, and he takes us out of condemnation and into joy and hope. And that's where it leads when you actually will open up that box and talk about it.
You mentioned the issue of women in the congregation who have had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we have heard before. Well, Don't want to talk about it because we don't want to make them feel bad or guilty, so we don't want to be condemning. The flip side of that that I've heard on more than one occasion, is pastors saying, well, that doesn't happen in our church. We've not had abortions in our church. That just doesn't happen here. Both of those seem way out of line to me.
I mean, maybe if you have a home church with four people in it and you know each person very, very intimately and you know that for a fact, maybe you can say that. But I think apart from that, I think it's just kind of burying your head in the sand and it's anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen the studies. Abortion has touched nearly every single person in some way. It's unfortunate, it's sad, but it's true. And so let's not bury our heads in the sand. Let's not pretend. Let's talk about it and let's allow the grace of God to do an amazing work.
Yeah, and we're going to talk in a second here about some of the right ways to do it, and certainly is one of the ways is to do it in a way that does not condemn. But we'll talk about that in a second. You know, one of the things, every year I go to the National March for Life in Washington, D.C., and I am always inspired, motivated, and disappointed. I am inspired by the number of people there, just throngs and throngs of people, motivated by the number of young people that you see. Disappointed because this is just a visual. There's no science to this. The Catholic Church is well represented. And I just don't see, as a Protestant, I'm like, where are our folks? That's so disappointing.
What a statement. I just had a conversation with a former Arizona senator here in my office, and she was talking about this very thing. So we just had our Arizona March for Life not too long ago, and I had the opportunity to speak at that. And I've been attending the Arizona March for Life, you know, virtually every year for a decade or more. And the same thing, I witnessed the same thing. The Catholic turnout is so much more than the evangelical Protestant turnout. And we need it on our radar. And it needs to be more front and center. I am so grateful that the Catholics are out there in full force. Absolutely. I mean, they bring buses in. They have high schools, Catholic high schools that will come into this. And these kids that are coming in, they do not look like they're being forced to do that. They're having a great time. Mm-hmm. They're engaged in what's happening at that march. It is very encouraging, and it's something that we're trying to strategize in Arizona already about. We've had a big wake-up call in Arizona when Prop 139 got passed and basically legalized abortion in Arizona without, you know, unfettered. It's disgusting, and it's sad, but I believe it was a wake-up call that was needed. And so we are looking as pro-life kind of movement and all the different pieces, all the different organizations, and we're starting to coalesce and begin to talk about this and say, hey, we got to do some things differently. We got to look at this differently. We got to work together differently. We have to talk differently. And so here we are.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier that reminded me, you talked about how, you know, a lot of times the concern is if you talk about this, you'll turn people off, you'll scare people away. And what you have found is that actually the exact opposite is true. And that reminds me of something I read recently, especially the young people, generation, I've lost track now, what are we, Generation Z, I guess. They're coming back to the church, maybe even younger than Z, but they're coming back to the church because, especially churches that are speaking the hard truth because they crave truth. They crave right and wrong. They want this kind of thing. So that's just kind of in line, I think, with what you're talking about, is especially young people, they say, bring it. We want to have these conversations.
Yeah, I agree. I see a young generation that really does want the real thing. And Jesus is the real thing and truth is the real thing. And it's what brings freedom. This generation doesn't want to just jump through hoops, doesn't want to check boxes. They want this to be real. What does this really mean? What does Jesus really do? How does it really affect life for real? And so it affects every area of our lives, every area of our culture. Again, that's why this is not a a political issue. This is a biblical, moral. This is a life issue. Mm-hmm.
So pro-life pastors, as you kind of, and I've described it to, and you have sort of a positive peer pressure kind of situation, helping encourage pastors to mm-hmm. to take that step by offering resources and things of that nature. What are some ways that pastors can help fellow pastors talk about this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that we encourage one another. So in Arizona, we were, the Lord just said, hey, let's get pastors talking about this and let's get pastors on the same page as it relates to the sanctity of human life. And so in 2024, we had almost 800 pastors that signed a declaration, one statement defending, you know, the voiceless children and vulnerable women as it relates to abortion and pushing back on what was at that time Prop 139. And it's just a peer-to-peer thing. It's a grassroots effort, and it's pastors and coming alongside of one another. And what happens is when you have nearly 1,000, like we do right now, pastors that have signed this declaration, the Sanctity of Human Life Declaration, Pro-Life Pastors Declaration, what happens is other pastors see that and they go, well, I better look at this, because the other pastors down the road to my left and to my right, they're willing to sign this. They're willing to make this statement and to be part of this. And so it's a positive peer pressure. And let's face it, we all are influenced by peer pressure. I mean, we're influenced when our congregants, you know, so many pastors think, if, like we were talking about, if I talk about this, people are going to leave and they don't want me to talk about this. Well, what if that got flipped and instead of they don't want me to talk about this, oh, they do want me to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening with pro-life pastors. It's flipping the script of that. And pastors are starting to feel this pressure like, oh, wait. People do want me to talk, and other churches are talking about it. Other pastors are discussing this from the pulpit. I better look into this a little deeper and maybe look at it differently and maybe start speaking up. I had a good friend of mine who's been a pastor even longer than I have, and he came to me in last year, and he said, Eric, thank you so much for doing this Pro-Life Pastors Coalition, because for the first time, this guy's been a pastor in the pulpit for over 25 years. For the first time on a Sunday morning, I preached a Sanctity of Human Life, pro-life message to my congregation, and it felt great. And that just came out of positive peer pressure. This isn't a guy who didn't want to. It's just he needed that extra little push, and he was grateful for that.
I'm glad you mentioned the role of the congregation. I've had a chance to travel the country even this year, and when this topic has come up, I've talked about, you know, the congregation does certainly have a role. One in the way you describe encouraging the pastor to talk mm-hmm. about it, but also, it's my assumption and what I have learned is when a pastor does talk about it, very often they're going to get some kind of pushback somewhere, mm-hmm. even if it's the very vocal minority. Well, usually it's the vocal minority. Mm-hmm. And so just if your pastor does have the courage to do it, support them, you know, thank them, things like that. The congregation plays a significant role.
It's a huge role, actually. It's a huge role. And so this would be my encouragement is if, you know, and most of you listening probably are part of a church, and so you're part of a congregation and you have a pastor. And I do want to encourage you, just like Scott said, to humbly, you know, and with a really good attitude and a smile on your face, encourage your pastor. If they ever speak out about the sanctity of human life, like Scott said, approach them and tell them, thank you, man, well done. And don't say, but next time do this. Don't play that card at that point. Just encourage them, because that will literally light a fire under that pastor and will embolden them to do it again. If your pastor is not speaking out about this, and I want to tread lightly here, but I think it's important because everybody wants to know, what can I do? What can I do? And I want to encourage you to go to your pastor, but do it in a wise, soft, humble way, not to berate or anything like that, but just to go to them and to talk about it and to let them know that you would love to hear them talk about this topic, that you see it in God's word, you see the need for it in our culture and in our church, and you would love for them from the pulpit to speak about this topic from time to time, and listen to what they say. Don't push too hard, but that pressure done the right way, I think will go a long way. And I do want to say one other thing too, is that if your pastor simply refuses to speak about this, I will tell you that as a pastor who does speak about this, there are pastors around that are talking about this and that have a heart for this, and are not going to hide behind different things. And I would say those pastors need support. They need encouragement. And maybe it's time to go encourage them and to bring your time, talent, and treasure and to get behind the voice that they're willing to be in the body of Christ and in the culture, and to embolden them and to help them even have more confidence and courage in that.
So when you talk about it from the pulpit, what tact do you take? I mean, what's the tone? What's your approach?
Well, I always start with Scripture. It's not just an opinion. It's what God has to say. And what's interesting is, I mean, we just had Mother's Day not too many weeks ago, right? And I mean, I didn't intend to, but within the Mother's Day, you know, Sunday morning, the pro-life sanctity of human life message came out as it just came out that, you know, mothers, what an amazing role that God knit us together in our mother's womb, the role that mothers play in this process of God bringing forth life. I mean, there's a sanctity of human life message right there in mm-hmm. just in that, in a Mother's Day message. It's all over the Word of God. It's woven in so many places. So it doesn't take a lot. It's not like you have to sit down and get all the statistics and get this like apologetic argument in place where you're going to slam, you know, the abortionists and all of that. It's really just revealing what God has to say in His Word, throughout His Word, about His love and His for humanity, for people. And so, and then when you do bring up that, this is just be my when you do bring up especially the word abortion, and you go that far with it, which I encourage us to all do because it's the reality of the world we live in. When you go that far, you can't just stop there. You can't curse the darkness. You have to end with bringing the light, the hope, the healing, the redemption, the freedom that is available to all, whether you've been involved in it or not, or whatever your experience is with it. And when you do that, that's when, I mean, you see God's grace just pouring in and through people's lives. And it's amazing. When you do that, if you're a pastor of a church and you've not done this, and you really bring that kind of a message, and then with the redemption and the love and the heart of God, you're going to be blown away when you have some women come up to you over the course of the next week or two, and they share with you their testimony and their story and the freedom that they received because you as a pastor brought God's heart of redemption and love in that moment. And it will, you'll want to cry. Really, you will. It's amazing what God does.
I hadn't planned on asking you this, but now I want to. So when a young couple, I'm curious to what you say if you're coaching or counseling a young couple who finds themselves with an unplanned pregnancy. But you know what, Eric, I especially want to hear from you. What do you tell that guy?
The guy, he just got his girlfriend pregnant is what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. What do you tell the guy? Oh, man. I mean, you are where you are at that moment, right? And so you just need to talk about reality. And my encouragement is definitely two wrongs never make a right. And this is an opportunity to step up, to be a man, to do the right thing, and to really press into the Lord, get God's heart for what's going on right now. And my the real message to that young man is that you have a child. You're a dad. This is a life. And maybe it didn't happen, and it didn't happen the way that you had hoped or she had hoped or even the way God designed it. But there is a life that is being knit together in that young lady's, you know, womb. And now it's time to step up and to show God's love and God's heart and compassion and protection as a man. That's your child. That's your child. Mm-hmm. And what, how can we help you? How can we help you right now?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you tagged that because I heard a great speech from David B. Wright, who a lot of people in the pro-life movement will recognize that name. And he closed with, he says, the most important thing we can say is, I will help you.
Yes.
I will help you.
Yes.
I mean, he had us say it. He had us repeat it. So I'm glad you tagged it with that. The reason I brought it up, you know, Eric, it's an issue I'm passionate about with these young guys because they're always told, the society tells them, butt out. It's not your choice. Mm. You have no role. Just be quiet. Mm. And study after study shows that the woman who is pregnant, will choose life far more often than not if they feel supported by the man.
Completely.
And so that's why I'm passionate about that and just ways that we can help these guys understand they do have a role.
They have a role, and it's a come to Jesus moment for them, and it's a delicate moment for them. And what does their flesh want to do? Their flesh wants to run away and hide and all of that. But we know that that's not the right move. And so they do need help. They need other men to come alongside of them. They need men to be there and walk this out and help them make the right choices now, moving forward. And that's why the body of Christ is so important. That's why we need to be in this together. And so do we cast stones at him? Maybe we slap him upside the head and go, dude, what is up with that? But then we wrap our arms around him and we walk it out with him and we watch what God will do. He'll take a fearful, just knucklehead young guy and turn him into a man pretty quickly if we walk alongside him in that moment.
Yep. I love that. So pro-life pastors, this is something that is needed across the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that. How can we get pastors? Because I think, and you could speak to this better than I do, but I think there are thousands and thousands of pastors across the country who want to be involved, who want to do this. They don't know where to begin. They even want to encourage others, like the position you found yourself in. How can we get this to grow like wildfire across the country?
I think it's just a matter of beginning to let more pastors know. So, you know, it's a grassroots effort. This isn't some organization, some pro-life, nonprofit type organization that's trying to push an agenda and trying to go out and grab pastors. This is literally just a group of local pastors that have come together that felt the Lord calling us to write a declaration, to come together in unity, to create coalition of pastors with, you know, in different denominations, different perspectives on eschatology and soteriology and all the different ologies and all of that, but come together with a common statement and declaration about the sanctity of human life. And in Arizona alone, we had nearly 800 pastors in about a 6-month time frame that got on board with this. And so, it's a peer-to-peer, pastor-to-pastor coalition, and we're just saying, hey, we're in this together. This is God's heart. This is what His Word has to say about the sanctity of human life, and we're saying it together because as we say it together, it's going to be a louder voice and it's going to have a lot more effect in the body of Christ and in our culture as well. So I would just encourage you, Get it in front of your pastors. Let them know. Go out to prolifepastors.org. Prolifepastors.org. Take a look at the declaration. And pastor, if it's something that you feel like you resonate with, you know, man, I would love to see you be part of that pro-life pastors coalition. And let's see what God will do with it. My heart and what I'm believing for is by the 2026 election cycle, which is, you know, it's right around the corner. And there are in many states, there's a lot of debate, potentially ballot measures and stuff relating to the sanctity of human life. My prayer and what I'm believing for is that there'll be as many as 10,000 pastors that are part of the Pro-Life Pastors Coalition. And what a message that's going to send to our nation, to the body of Christ. It's going to be really hard for somebody to say, I don't know what God's word really says about the sanctity of human life. I don't know what pastors really think about this. It's going to be hard to say that when you see 10,000 pastors across the U.S. that are saying one thing, and that is that that God loves human life from conception all the way through. So yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. This is so needed because, again, you look at a lot of these election results, and boy, if the church, especially, well, both Catholic and Protestant church, if our folks can show up and understand what's at stake, we're going to see very, very different results. So prolifepastors.org. Eric Jones, appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for joining us today.
Scott, thank you so much.